1 John chapter 5. Let's start at verse 4 and read it together. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's pretty powerful. Whatever is born of God. Now, we've got a teaching called saved or born again, and it's the state of being and how you walk, whether you're walking in the spirit or not. Because you and I have a choice of either walking in that born again state or walk in a saved state or a lost state. Amen? So, but it says, who's ever born of God overcomes the world. In other words, overcomes the natural. Because the world is a representation of natural, isn't it? And we know that the ruler of the world is who? Satan. Of course, he's sending his demonic powers and so forth. The Bible says we don't fight flesh and blood, do we? We fight powers of darkness, spirits, evil spirits, don't we? But it says, he who overcomes the world, or whoever is born of God, overcomes the world. And it's important, because the world is trying to take me and you out, isn't it? Amen? Let's go on. Verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit are one, aren't they? They're one. There's no separation between them. They're one. You know, people try to separate them. You don't. They're together. They're one. Does everybody understand that? They're one. They may have different functions, but they're still one. Hallelujah. Amen. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as what?
One.
As one. So who's ever born of God overcomes the world, right? But explain to us about what being born again is. It's expressing the connection between the spiritual realm and the natural realm, which is by the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? So if you are born of God, or if you are in the Spirit, you will always overcome what the world is trying to come against you. Always. Hello? But the devil is trying to get you to the point where you allow the world to overcome you, or the desires of the world begin to affect you. Because once that begins to happen, it is an open door to you. Is everybody with me? Okay, go to verse 18. Read it with me, verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Now what is he doing? Keeping himself from what? From the world. Amen. Now that's if you're walking in that born-again state, isn't it? If you're walking in the Spirit, then you're going to overcome the world. You're going to overcome temptation. The desires, it doesn't mean that you won't be afflicted. It doesn't mean that you won't be tempted. It doesn't mean that you won't get angry. It doesn't mean that you won't be offended. It doesn't mean that you won't be hurt or you won't be rejected. But what it means is that you will overcome those things. Does everybody understand that? It says, we know that what? We are of God, verse 19, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Now, who's the wicked one?
Satan.
And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. We are what?
In him.
We are what?
In him.
In him. Wow. Who is true? In who? His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So if anybody ever asks you if Jesus Christ is God or not, take him to the scripture. But it says that you and I are in him. So understand something. When you and I are walking in the Spirit, we're walking in him. And we are overcoming the world. And you will not sin. It doesn't mean that you won't be tempted. It doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. But you will not allow sin to run your life, and you won't practice sin. Does everybody understand that? You'll be quick to repent when you blow it. The longer you hold on to it, the more the world begins to overtake you. Amen? Hallelujah. What I want to talk to you about tonight, well, let's go to verse John 3 first. So we're talking about born again, right? So it says, he was born of God. Born of God. And there's a specific thing about being born of God, because God is what? Spirit. Wow. God is Spirit. So if you're born of God, you become Spirit. Everybody say, I am.
I am.
Spirit.
Spirit.
I am.
I am.
Spirit.
Spirit.
Ooh. Now, you may not look like a spirit. You may be used to seeing your mug every day, never realize what was what, right? In the book of John in chapter 3, I am Spirit. Wow. I think that's a very difficult thing that we try to calculate in our minds. I think that's one of the things the devil tries to prevent us from knowing who we are, because we are Spirit. We are what?
Spirit.
Oh. In John 3, in verse 5, would you read it with me? And Jesus answered, and what did he say? Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. Now, who birthed your Spirit? The Holy Spirit. You see where it says, capital letter, Spirit? That which is born of Spirit is what?
Spirit.
Ah, so the Holy Spirit births your Spirit. Glory to God. So whoever is born of God or born of Spirit, right, which is Spirit, overcomes the world. Now go to Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. Help us understand this. I am
Spirit.
Oh, hallelujah. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. Two powerful statements here that the angel said. Would you read verse 30 with me until 35? 30 to 35. Luke chapter 1, verse 30 to 35. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now understand something. He said, you will conceive in your womb. You will conceive in your womb. In other words, Jesus was known as the seed of God. What she was saying, conceive, was a tangible presence of a seed that was been planted into the womb. Conception. The angel said, you will conceive. And you will call his name Jesus. Right? All right, now watch. And it says, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, come on, watch this now, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now look it. First of all, he explained to her, this is where Jesus said, you must be born of water and spirit. First, the angel said to her, you're going to conceive and call him Jesus. That's natural state. Then he said, the Holy Spirit is going to come over you, and the shadow of the Most High and the power of God is going to come over you, and is going to birth this seed, and he's going to be known as Son. Does everybody understand that? Because the Holy Spirit is what brings relationship. So we see here that this is exactly what Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, listen, you must be born again, born of water and born of the Spirit. Now we know that water represents repentance and so forth. But you got to understand, God came into the world as an example for me and you. So what was he saying? Okay, when the seed of Christ comes in you, just like, right, you still have your natural name, don't you? In other words, we call that conception as a born state, as a conception, as a saved state, excuse me. Conception is a saved state. When the Holy Spirit comes over and births that seed or your spirit, you become born again, which we call a birth state or born again state. Now you call him Father. And there's a difference. So, why? Because you are now spirit. Well, you're now the offspring of God. Do you understand that? So, are you a spirit now?
Amen.
Amen. And all the promises and everything. You're a spirit. Everyone say, I am?
I am.
Spirit.
Spirit.
Praise God. So now you are called sons and daughters of God, aren't you? Because you have been born again, you're spirit. You are spirit. All right, let's go a little further. John chapter 1. Now remember, we just read in verse 14 here. Go to John 1, 14. We just read that the three witnesses in heaven are what? The Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and they are one. They're one. Praise God. In verse 14, what does it say? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus was actually the first one that was birthed of the Spirit. That's why he was known as the Son of God. Is everybody with me? Okay, now, we see here that the Father, the Word, and the Spirit were one, right? So the Word became flesh, or actually, you could say that the Spirit became tangible. Does everybody get it? The Spirit became tangible, right? So you and I were already tangible. We needed to become Spirit. Woohoo! Come on, you got it?
Amen.
See, now what you and I are coming through, now, you know, Jesus, who was the Word, right, who was God, who came from the Spirit, because he is Spirit, came into the natural realm, didn't he? But you and I are from the natural realm now, going into the Spirit realm. Hello? That's why we are born again, because you and I are spirits. Now we're carrying this heavy suit called flesh. Right? It's like a cocoon sometimes, huh? Waiting to turn into that butterfly. But you're still a spirit no matter what. We're still spirits. So, Jesus was a spirit who became tangible. You and I are tangible. We'll become spirit. But the world wants to keep you from acknowledging, accepting, and receiving that you are spirit and still want you to be natural. Wants you to still be on this tangible state. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 20. You know, it gives a born-again experience a whole nother understanding in the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because that baptism of the Holy Spirit allows you to walk on the other side because you become child of God. In verse 20, I mean chapter 20, in verse 27. Would you read it with me, please? Is everybody there? The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his, actually the inner depths of his heart means the rooms of the belly, because there's rooms that the spirit is searching. Why? Because the spirit is, it says the lamp of the Lord, so that means the spirit is light, isn't it? Amen. Spirit is light. We just needed our light turned on. It's been off for a long time. And we needed to get it turned on. Hallelujah. Go to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12. In verse 6 and 7. Would you read it with me? Ecclesiastes 12 verses 6 and 7. Remember your creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to your earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Why? Because God is what?
Spirit.
And it's God who gave the spirit, isn't it? But you and I were tangible who became spirit. Now we are spirit. Our spirit was born again. We actually got a new spirit. Hallelujah. The lights got turned on. Now nobody can say that, you know, the lights are on but nobody's home. They can't say that anymore to you. Telling the lights are on and the candle is burning. Praise be to God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I am spirit. First Corinthians chapter 6. Let's just read verse 17. Read that together with me. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you got to understand, we're going precept, line upon line. Oh, that you are spirit, that we are spirit. If you are joined to the Lord, you are what? One spirit. I know sometimes we don't feel like it. I'm going to show you why. Psalm 82. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Psalm 82 and verse 6. I said, you are God's. And all of you are children of the Most High. Now the word God here represents judges of high authority. It says that we are gods, or we are judges and children of the Most High. I think it's a hard thing for us to comprehend that we are actually children of God Almighty.
Amen.
Because the world is constantly trying to disqualify us as sons of God and children of the Most High, isn't it? But we are spirits. In other words, we are judges or whatever. We are offsprings. We are spirits. Now listen. We are spirits with human experiences. At one time, we were just humans looking for experiences. Hello? We were humans looking for experiences. Now we are spirits with human experiences. So you can't allow your human experiences to negate or disqualify you as spirit. Okay, so we are now spirits with what? Human experiences. So if you allow everything to look at all of your experiences and all your trials and tribulations, if you allow them to just be experiences to you instead of torments to you, you won't get sucked in them. Why? Because we've already started our eternal realm, haven't we?
Amen.
We've already started eternity.
Amen.
So why not walk in eternity? And stop walking in our human experiences and start walking in who we are. Hello?
Amen.
Praise God. Okay. Go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Would you read it with me? 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. See, the Holy Spirit is always assisting you in trying to convince you that you are a child of God. Is everybody with me? He's witnessing to you. Come on, man, you're a child of God. You're not of this world. You're just passing through. This is not your home. These are just human experiences. You're not bound by this place any longer. Even though you're encapsulated in space and time, you're going to be released from that soon. Your spirit, you're a child of God. You're an offspring of the Anointed One and His anointing. Don't get sucked up in your human experiences. It says, and the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him together. Why? Because I am spirit with human experiences. Is everybody with me? Oh man, I pray this slams you in the spirit tonight. We are children, joint heirs. Seeds of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and Jesus. Glory to God. Go to 2 Corinthians. No, go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. 18 to 22. And through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Why? Because I am spirit. Wow. We're going to get it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are spirits with human experiences. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verses 1 through 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Why? Because you are a spirit, right? But you're in a tangible house, aren't you? An earthly house. See, but because you're a spirit, you desire your spiritual house. You groan within you, wanting the fullness of your redemption. Amen. You know, you actually want to go home.
Amen.
But the devil wants to put fear in us to try and prevent us from accepting who we are in Christ and get us caught up on our human experiences. Because human experiences have impacts in us and bring fear. They bring doubt. If we get caught up in them, they bring separation too, don't they? Amen? Because people who begin to look for human experiences as a fulfillment of desire usually separate themselves from God eventually, don't they? Oh, hallelujah. Let's start at verse 2 again. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we are in this tent, groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing who is God, who is also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Wow. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is constantly trying to convince you and direct you of who you are, a child of the Most High God, a spirit with human experiences. No longer a human searching out experiences, but a spirit with human experiences. And you're growing. You get frustrated sometimes. Sometimes you get sick and tired of getting sick and colds and aches and pains and got to wear glasses and stuff like that. Headaches, body getting tired. You're groaning sometimes, groaning for that new body. Goofy thoughts, all of that stuff. You know? You know what I'm saying? Look at, listen, didn't Jesus say, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, right? What kind of job you have, whatever. You know, those are human experiences. People get caught up in those human experiences. You know what they're actually trying to do? Identify themselves with humanity. Ooh. And they fall short of the glory of God. Because you don't have to identify yourself with humanity. You know, I mean, come on, man. We comb our hair and we want to be presentable. We want to be respectful. But man, sometimes we go beyond that borderline. And we want to identify ourselves with humanity as an experience, and it's fulfilling the flesh. And it's denying the Spirit. And the Spirit is going, come on. You're a child of God.
Amen.
You're a king's kid. Right? Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So man, you know, we want our heavenly body. Too bad you can't cast out flesh, right? And I'd be saying, come off. Sometimes we get frustrated in things we keep repeating. Man, I keep doing the same thing over. Well, don't get so delightful on that human experience. Don't give it so much glory. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 37. And what you sow, you do not sow that body shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and each seed, and to each seed its own body. Now check this out. The seed here, we know he's talking about grain and stuff. But if you look in the Spirit, he's talking about each seed he gives a body to. Mm-hmm. The seed here now, it means Spirit.
Amen.
So each one of, remember, you first, we all had a seed first. His seed was known as Christ, Jesus. Jesus was the seed. Once you were birthed by the Spirit, you became Christ.
Amen.
Do you understand that? You became born again. So your seed had to have a body. But he now is talking, your Spirit has a what? A body. So actually, in reality, your spirit is experiencing human experiences, isn't it? And it's learning about a natural realm. I'll take this information for the next creation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go on. In verse 37 and 38 and 39. Everybody there? All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There is also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of a terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So do you. Do you understand that? So do you. Every one of us is unique. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in the natural body. It is raised a what? Spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. Afterward, the spiritual. The first man was the earth made of dust. Wasn't that me and you? Now we're a second man. And the second man is the Lord from heaven. Now we understand that. Why? Because we are now his children. You understand that? Now we are the spirits, but our first man was of the earth. Our second man is from heaven. As a man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Is everybody with me? Why? But it first had to start off by you being a spirit before your flesh could be removed and a glorified body can come where you would be one in spirit. So we're actually looking to be more clothed. We're looking for our heavenly home because we are spirits with human experiences. Okay, now understand this. We see that the seed, which represented the spirit, and we are the seed, we are spirits waiting for a spiritual body. Now, let me explain something about the body. First of all, man is made of what? Three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, the body or the flesh is made up of bones, blood, and water, isn't it? And the soul is made up of a mind, emotions, and will. The spirit communes with God, has a conscience, and is light, or what we might call wisdom. That's what our spirit is now. In fact, when Adam and Eve fell, and God no longer spoke to them face to face, he spoke to them through the conscience, didn't he? That was in their spirit, wasn't it? Okay? So you and I, God was speaking to us in our conscience, wasn't he? Now we call people, they define things of conscience, subconscious, and all this other stuff. But those are things that are hidden from us. Amen? But now you and I, our spirit communes with God, right? Or whatever other spirit that's out there. Amen? That's where you got to have discernment. And it communes also, God's also communing with me and you in our conscience. But we are light. And also we have wisdom. So let me explain this to you. When I was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit in my encounter with the Lord, even though my soul was not renewed yet, my spirit was communing with God by the Holy Spirit, and he was telling me what was right and what was wrong and what to do. See, even though my mind was trying to tell me something else, the voice of the Lord was overtaking my carnal mind. So I was able to be led by the Spirit. And it was totally different. So your soul, which is made up of your mind, your emotions, and your will, must be renewed. It's important that it's renewed. And it must maintain a constant renewing. So it can interpret what the Spirit is saying. Is everybody with me? Now check this out. If you think about the body, you know, the flesh part. Now, the flesh part has a brain, doesn't it? Amen? But you ever, you know, like a computer, it's got a CPU in it, central processing unit. And what it does is it functions according to, just like a robot, you know? Do you ever notice that when you tell a robot to do something, it takes a couple seconds for it to do it? But the human body is made so unique by God that once the brain says, do this, or the voice tells the brain to do this because it's operating in hardware, okay, because the flesh is actually hardware. All right? It does it quickly because there's such a union there, because it's spiritual, soulish, right, but in a natural arena. So that you and I at one time were not only just tangible, looking for, or humans looking for a spiritual experience, now you and I are spirits experiencing a human experience. So if you look at this whole arena of spirit, soul, and body, did I lose you? Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Okay. If you look at the flesh part of us, if you look at the flesh part of us as like hardware in a computer, so there's a CPU unit, somebody still has to operate it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, if the individual that's operating it, known as the soul, if the individual operating it does not know how to operate it, which is he's interpreting instructions and how to operate it, it will not function perfectly, will it? It's the same thing in the spirit realm. Just like a baby. You know, you can look at a baby who's just born. It's having a hard time walking. You know, when people become born again, they have a hard time walking. Because their spirit is so not accustomed to this worldliness now that it's very sensitive. It's very... And so what's trying to happen is the spirit, which is new spirit, clean, is the powers of darkness are trying to contaminate it.
Amen.
See, the devil wants to contaminate your spirit. So he's looking for access to it all the time. Because you are a child of the Most High God. He wants to put blemishes on your spirit. Now, let me express again. So your soul is actually a representation of your carnal arena. That's why it must be renewed. Because you and I have a carnal mind, we have a carnal feelings, and we make carnal choices. So your mind has thoughts, doesn't it? Your emotions have feelings, and your will is a choice. The choice that you and I make is known as the door to your spirit. Every choice that you make is either going to open the door to the Spirit of God and bring more light in, or is going to open the door to a spirit
Amen.
Of darkness and can try and contaminate your
Amen.
Spirit. That's why it's important for your soul to constantly be renewed and updated, always, so that the Holy Spirit has access to you and that you're listening, that you are a child of the Most High God. Let me just refresh this one more time. So we're made up of spirit, soul, and body, right? Spirit communes with God, soul interprets what God is saying, and the flesh does the work. I mean, that's a simple part of it. So if the soul cannot interpret what God is saying, the flesh is going to serve the devil. So there's a lot of people who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior with the seed that's been planted. Some of them gotten baptized in the Holy Ghost where they become a new creation, right? But they're not walking in that state of being, are they?
Amen.
Mm. Or they have fallen from that state of being. Because let me tell you something. Somebody who gets first baptized in the Holy Ghost, they're walking on third level for about a week or two. 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And they can hear the Spirit of God. You know what God's doing? Giving them time enough to start renewing their soul. And if they don't do things according to the will of God, then they start falling astray. So your spirit is what gets born again, and your soul is what gets renewed. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Actually, we can start at chapter 6 and verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not what? Touch what is unclean. And I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my what? Sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us what?
Cleanse
ourselves from all filthiness of the what?
Flesh,
flesh and what?
Spirit.
Did you notice it says flesh and spirit?
Amen.
Flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We're to cleanse ourselves from the flesh and the spirit because the soul is to be renewed. Hello? cleanse ourselves from the flesh and the spirit. So what is the devil doing? He's enticing your flesh to get to your spirit. Isn't he? Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What is our spirit? It's light, isn't it? Our spirits are light. That's where he said, don't hide your light, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Is everybody there? Like I said, I really just believe that the Lord is constantly trying to bring us to that state of walking in the Spirit. Because, see, you can be filled, baptized in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, and still not walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Walk in the Spirit makes a conscious effort. It makes a conscious effort. So just because you pray in tongues and you do whatever, doesn't mean you're walking in the Spirit. Or it doesn't mean 2 minutes later you're going to walk in the Spirit. You must make a conscious effort. And that's where I won't go there yet. I won't go there yet. Yeah, hold on a minute. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's start at verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. There, you are all sons of what? Light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Amen? So we are what? Children of what? Light, because we are what? Spirit. Praise God. Ephesians 5. So when someone says, turn on the light, tell them it's on. What's the matter with you? It's on, man. Open your mouth. Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, praise God. You know, it's really easy to get sucked up in the experiences of humanity. Real easy. It only brings frustration, pain, and impatience, anxiety, and stress. But if you'll begin to look at who you are in Christ, and understand that you're just a spirit with human experiences, things will begin to change.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. Is everybody there? Ephesians 5 and verse something. How about verse 8? For you were once darkness, but now you are what?
Light
in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Woo! In other words, expose them for yourself. When you find out that your human experiences are overtaking, you have more fulfillment of human experiences than of God experiences. Then you're to expose that. It's being exposed. God, you need to expose that to yourself. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit to expose it. That's called dual-minded. People are still looking for getting more desire of human experiences compared to the experiences of Christ and who they are. See, if your flesh is still running your life, you will constantly look for fulfillment in the flesh.
Amen.
And if your flesh is still running your life, you're in trouble.
Amen.
You can put all the act on you want. You're in trouble. It will be manifested. Because the Bible tells us that the children of God and the children of the devil will be manifested. If you are choosing to serve the world, you will become a child of the devil and it will be manifested. Amen?
Amen.
It always manifests. It always has to come to a head. But we are children of light. Let's keep that light clean. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Is everybody all right? Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. Let's read this together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. That means you're getting closer, man.
Hallelujah.
Hey, you know what? I remember doing time, and I count that day off. Phew. Phew. But you know what? I was in prison. But when I got out, I was still in prison. So counting the days didn't make me free. It wasn't until my relationship with my daddy who kept me free. From that point on, it was no longer human experiences that were fulfilling my life. It's not about time. I'm not bound by space and time anymore. My flesh is, but I'm not. I don't look at time. You know, the only thing that my concern is that time is running out to rescue more souls. But as for my time, it's irrelevant. Because I'm no longer bound by time. I'm eternal. So I don't count the days anymore. Just make sure you get to work on time, all right? And get home on time. Praise God. We're not bound by time, but we still have to obey time. Come on, then speed can go everywhere, right? Hallelujah. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us as far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Come on, read it with me. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That means what? Human experience is compared to eternal experiences. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, listen, if we get caught up in temporary experiences, you'll end up being temporary. Hello? But we're already eternal. So we need to get caught up in eternal experiences, don't we? Why? Because we are spirits. We are spirits. Even though we're in a realm that is a temporary realm, we're already eternal. Why? Because we're passing through it. It doesn't have a hold on us. Only if you allow it. Only if those human experiences are still more fulfilling than godly experiences. And of course, you know your flesh. And you're not in the spirit. Galatians chapter 5. I am spirit.
I am spirit.
Galatians chapter 5. I am spirit. In verse 16 and 17, read it with me. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you wish. Wow. So that you do not look for fulfillment in human experiences. Now, what do you mean by human experiences? I'm talking about sex, drugs, rock and roll, wealth, and everything else. Look what happened to the wealthy man. Remember the one that the Lord said, hey, man. And the dude came up and said, you know, I do this and I do that. I go to church, I go to Bible study. I fast once a week. I do this and that. And the Lord said, okay, sell everything you have and you'll find rewards in heaven. He said, no way. You know why? He was still relying on his human experience of wealth. Do you understand that? He was still bound. Let me tell you, human experiences bind you here to a temporary realm. This is where you and I are no longer bound to this realm where we're brought in bondage by human experiences. But the wealth that comes to me in you, the wisdom and the knowledge and everything else that comes to me in you, our purpose is now to expand the kingdom of God and bring glory to His name, because we are spirits, we are light in a dark world. And we're just an extension cord with light bulbs trying to continue to plug everybody in, right? So that the world can become what? Light. So, if we walk in the Spirit as children of light, known as eternal, we have a choice. We will not fulfill the lust or the desire of the temporary or the natural realm or the flesh. Right? Is everybody with me? Good. Turn to Romans 8. How many times did God tell you to give up something? Man, you kidding? I can't do that. You know how many times that I remember coming across certain things of my past that I remember gave me fulfillment. Even clothes. Because I used to have clothes made and all kinds of stuff. Whatever. And sunglasses, I had a gazillion sunglasses. All kinds of stuff, you know. Jewelry, whatever. When I was born again and a child of the Most High God, I didn't want to wear one piece of gold, one earring. I wanted to get rid of, I didn't want any of those. My wife had to drag me to the jewelry shop to have a ring made for a wedding ring. Right? I didn't want nothing to do with any of it anymore. I didn't want any more of those human experiences, because my spiritual experience, my born again, overtook everything. Nothing could ever compare to it again. Overtook it. It was over with. I mean, my wife had to drag me to a jewelry shop. And I was having a hard time in there. Pardon me? Yeah, finally, you know, I got one, but it had to have a cross on it, you know? Like, you know. I mean, everything had to bring glory to my Father, no matter what I was doing. No matter what I was wearing, no matter what I was going, I wanted to express myself as his son. Not in a human experience, but in an eternal experience that I constantly wanted to continue, keep it running over and over and over. That's why cars, I don't care. You know how long it took me to water my front lawn? I wasn't going to water dirt. When the Lord put grass there, I said I'd water it. Other than that, forget it. We need the money to go feed, clothe, and shelter. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Daddy.
Romans chapter 8. Verse 5. You know, the devil likes to try and convince you about some of the old things. Well, I can use that for the glory of God now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think I'll tattoo my forehead with Jesus. I get guys saying, well, I'm going to go tattoo myself with the Lord. Oh, macho bonehead. Yeah, you're doing God a great service. You're cursing yourself. Lord said, listen, why would you want to build on things I delivered you from? It calls an abomination to him. When we do those things, what we're telling him is, I'm sorry, I'm putting my human experience over my spiritual one. You know, the Bible says exercise profits little. We have to be careful. People can get so caught up in the human experience of exercise that they lose their spiritual experience. Amen? Everyone can. You know, we can get so caught up about being physically fit that we get so spiritually dull. We can never let our experience as a son and a child of God Almighty overtake our human experience. Yes, we're to take care of ourselves. You know, the world says you need to do this every single day and that every single day. I mean, the world lied to us on everything else, and all of a sudden we're going to believe them? Man, you need to jog 45 minutes a day, and you need to do this every day. Hello? Now all of a sudden we're going to believe them? Come on, there are people who are supposed to be healthy, and they're out there dying of heart attacks. Right? I mean, and there are people who eat garbage. Now, you know, you're going to, what you sow is what you reap, right? But sometimes it runs down the genes, don't it? I mean, I tried real hard to stay 160 pounds. Didn't work. Praise God. But I get my exercise on Sunday, chasing my little girl around the house. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and verse 5. Would you read it with me? For those who live according to the flesh, or known as human experiences, set their minds on the things of the flesh, human experiences. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Oh, glory to God. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me tell you, if you're not walking in abundant life and have peace, that means, you know what? You're leaning more on your human experiences.
Amen.
And you're a spirit. And you don't even enjoy it. Don't even realize it. You think you do. Because the carnal mind is still running. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Now this is what I was talking about. The carnal mind. The carnal mind and the mind of Christ are two different minds. Let me explain something to you. You know what the mind of Christ is? The Holy Spirit. He is the mind of Christ. That's why you got to have a relationship with Him, so that the mind of Christ is always reminding you that you are a child of the Most High God. And then you got to constantly renew your carnal mind so it can communicate. It's got to be updated. So then those who are in the flesh cannot what? please God. Come on, read it with me, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. What's he explaining here? But in the spirit, what is he saying? You are not just a human, you are a spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, because the Spirit is life because of what?
Righteousness.
But he says, but you are what? Spirit. Wow. But you are a spirit. Keep going. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you, because we're still groaning for that celestial body. To fulfill you as a spirit. Right now we've got a carnal body. And our spirit is groaning. It wants to be ripped of this and put on its true body. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Right? For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? You will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, who is the Holy Spirit, these are what? Why? Because they're always reminded that they are sons of God. And they are walking in the Spirit, crucifying their flesh. Hello? And the desire of the carnal or human experience is not overtaking the desire for the eternal experience. Verse 15. Read it with me. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Wow. What's the spirit of bondage? The spirit of bondage to fear again means that you have gone back into your human experiences which brought you into bondage from the beginning. He told them, listen, man, I know you're spirit-filled. I know that, you know, but listen, you've gone back to your human experiences which brought you back into bondage. You know, there were hobbies that you and I used to have. We used to love those hobbies. And I had all kinds of hobbies. I was hobbied out. Far be it that I should go back to hobbies. Every once in a while, the devil will try to squeeze one in there. Man, don't you think it's time that you rested a little bit and took up a hobby? Praise God, we need to go into another jail. You know, that's a good hobby. Souls! We need more souls. More souls and rescue, more children.
Amen.
Amen. More homes with more rooms.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Far be it that we should fall back into the bondage of human experiences outweighing our eternal experiences. Why? Because I am spirit. Romans 12. I'm sore from football Sunday, I'll tell you.
I am spirit.
The human experience is still killing me. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Well, wait a minute now. We're presenting our bodies as a sacrifice. Amen. You know what it's sacrificing? Human experiences for eternal ones. And do not be conformed to this world with desires of what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. And all those outweighed human experiences. What toys you're going to buy for fulfillment of human experiences. We're just fulfilling the flesh. And it'll move you out of position every time. Don't get me wrong. God wants us to have fun, doesn't He? But He doesn't want it to get in between us, does He?
Amen.
Amen. Doesn't want to get us in between. You know, people go in debt to fulfill the lust of the flesh. In cars, homes, clothes, jewelry, sound systems, all kinds of stuff. They're willing to man to please man or please someone. They're willing to, you know, they'll calculate everything they can and even begin to skimp on giving to God because of a human experience outweighing an eternal one. You know, it's a bummer then when that child that's hungry and needs something and we look at all the toys that we have and we can't even feed a kid. When you get stuff in your mailbox and it shows a picture of hungry children and you look out at your boat or whatever and cars and all those other things and you look around your house and you go, man, I don't even have the money to help feed this child, but I've got all of these human experiences that are only temporary. See, this is where you and I must make a conscious effort to get in the Spirit. Remember, everything you have is not yours anyway.
Amen.
It's not ours anyway. Everything that's been given to you, me and you, if you think it's yours, and you, one of the worst things to get in the flesh is the words that will come to you is, I deserve this. You know you're fleshed. You're about to experience a human experience and deny the eternal one. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by what?
The renewing
of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me share something with you. You must constantly renew your mind. Because it can never be transformed. The word just said it. We read it in Romans 8, right? The carnal mind is never going to become the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit who's expressing Himself to your spirit. Alright? As He expresses Himself to your spirit, as you commune with Him, you're gaining the mind of Christ. But the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. The carnal mind must constantly be reminded. That's what renewed means. So it can upkeep with the mind of Christ. If you've ever noticed when you begin to slack off of reminding yourself, by the Word of God, by fellowship, by prayer and communion in the Spirit, you begin to pick up human experiences as desires, fulfillment of the flesh, things we eat, whatever it is. So it's important that you and I constantly remind and continue to renew our minds so we can upkeep with the Spirit. That's why the Spirit communes, the soul interprets. If it can't interpret, if it's not updated, it can't interpret what the Spirit's saying. Amen? And people get frustrated. Hey, you know what? I want to know. But then there's a time when I know I don't have to know. I'm waiting on the Lord. I know that He'll open a door and shut it. Whatever it is. There's a lot of things I want. But let me share something with you. Don't push the door open. Don't go in debt to push the door open. When that door shuts, God's got a better place. If you go and push yourself, you know how many times you've gone to buy a car, buy a house, buy a sound system, and you had a specific amount of money that you could use, and it doesn't turn out that way, and it's going to be more, and you calculate and figure out everything that you're going to do. You know what you're looking for? A human experience for fulfillment. And God is shutting that door because He knows down the road it's going to affect you. And you know what? He's got a better place for you anyways. Does everybody understand that? All right. Oh, hallelujah. Uh-oh. Boko roboso. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just for me and you. Hallelujah. See if we can get through this. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Is everybody there?
Amen.
In verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his what?
Spirit.
But if your soul is not renewed, you can't interpret what the Spirit's telling you. It's got to keep updated, doesn't it? For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for what?
Spirit of God.
Spirit of God. Ooh, hallelujah. So as your spirit communes with the Holy Spirit, he's going to begin to express himself so that you renew your mind so that you can interpret what's going on. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, which is bondage, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Freely given to us. Why? Because we are spirits and we have an inheritance. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We have dominion over all things. But the carnal mind is going to tell you no. You're human. I remember one time this dude said to me, I'm only human. I said, bummer. And don't use that as an excuse for me for your fornication. That's unacceptable. You're only human. That's not what God says. He says, you're his son. You're his daughter. You are spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Galatians 6. I am a spirit with human experiences. I was a human looking for experiences. But now I am a spirit with human experiences. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. Hallelujah. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not what? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Go to Romans 8. I want to close here. Romans 8 is a power. It's the most awesome chapter, if people could just understand it. Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Who's that? Amen. Can't wait to shed the skin. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's me and you. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? In other words, why are you still hoping for that human experience compared to your eternal one? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Because we're not looking in the temporary, we're looking in the eternal. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Ghost is praying through us, isn't He? Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. What's the mind of the Spirit? The mind of Christ. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's the perfect will. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Are you called according to his purpose?
Amen.
Amen. That's why you're a spirit. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Was his Son a spirit? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I am what?
Spirit.
Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Lord, bring us revelation that we are spirit with a human experience. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen and hallelujah.